It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1.
Happy Friday. Welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you. One guest on the rundown today. Tori McElhaney will join us at 11:30. We'll talk a little Falcons offseason with her, get her thoughts on the NFL playoffs as well. And we'll have plenty of open phone time as we go along throughout the program today. We're picking up where we left off with this ridiculous conversation we're having to have. It won't go away. It won't stop. It's festering. And I told Daniel when he came in this morning, I think this may be the tipping point where I'm just going to call people out. Because I'm tired of it. I am sick and tired of the way we do things. I know that there are a lot of Georgia fans. I'll say enough. There are enough fans that are upset for some strange reason about JT leaving and Stetson coming back that the players have to talk about it. And I know there are fans that are concerned because Jermaine Burton transferred. But to the people that write and cover, I understand that you're trying to get clicks. But can we stay within the lines here of let's, like, can we get rid of the hyperbole? Just tone it down just a little bit. I read a headline today, and I didn't read the story. I haven't read the story. And the guy may not have even written the headline, so maybe it's not his fault. But I pull up AJC Sports today, and there's a headline from a Michael Cunningham column, which I won't read, that says, Georgia lacking star wide receiver for national title defense. No, they're not. No, they are not. They're not. That's not true. That's not an opinion. They're not lacking. Just to make sure, I pulled up the 2021 stats. All right? And I clicked on receptions. Do you know who led the team in receptions?
Well, I would guess it would be one of three people.
Okay.
Bowers, Mitchell, or McConkey.
Well, you got it right the first time.
Okay, Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Right.
Is he coming back?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's a tight end. But
is he?
He's not a well.
Is he? Because to me, tight ends line up in three-point stances next to tackles. I don't see Brock Bowers doing that a whole lot.
Yeah.
Is he?
Not really.
All right. You want to go for number two? You did good on your guesses, by the way.
It was McConkey.
Oh, okay. Is he coming back?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to take a shot at number three on that list?
A.D. Mitchell.
Oh, okay. Is he coming back?
So the three leading receivers off the team that won the national title, that's going to be stamped across my forehead. You won the national title.
I mean,
I was going to today. Damn it. I drove in this morning and said, I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm not giving Chris a promo. And here we are, 3 minutes into the program, and I'm already yelling. But you won the national title, and your three leading receivers off the team that won the national title are coming back.
But they lack a star wide receiver for the title defense.
Power.
Who's the star? To lack something, I don't know. Michael Cunningham, stop it.
Yep.
Stop it. Tone down the hyperbole. That's a ridiculous thing to write. And maybe he didn't write the headline. I didn't read the story.
Let me give you a little behind the scenes, okay? Back in the old days, I mean, even when I got into journalism.
Listen close, kids.
The writers never wrote the headlines.
Right.
Never. Like, my writers I was a writer from 93 to 99. I never wrote a headline on my own story. Never. I became an editor in 99. I was an editor in the newspapers from 99 to 2017. Yeah, 17. Writers never wrote their own headlines. Now, they might suggest a headline,
mm-hmm.
but they never wrote their own headline.
So maybe it's not
but
him.
But now things have changed.
Okay, well, maybe he did, maybe
so
he didn't.
Maybe
I don't
he
know.
Did. We don't know.
And I didn't, and I'm not going to read the garbage. I just not. I'm not. When I see that, I know that headline is designed to generate clicks. It's going to generate clicks. That's what this has become. But then we have to come in and do a talk show, and the people that read this stuff and believe it are like, well, they don't have a star receiver. Well, Jermaine Burton left because of JT Daniels left. Well, how are you going to win if you don't have that elite five-star receiver? I don't know how they win it this year. They did it this year.
Was Jermaine Burton on that list?
Fifth.
How many catches?
He had 26 catches.
So he averaged fewer than 2 catches a game.
Yes.
And we're freaking out about him?
Uh-huh. Lacks star receiver for title defense. Top 3 receivers are back that won the national championship, but they lack star receiver for talent.
So was Jermaine Burton a star? You was Jermaine Burton a star receiver? He caught 26 passes. Now, if... And Chris has got that damn promo talking about me handing... handing the ball off.
I love it.
And having Buck Blue play. When Buck Blue played 26, we probably would have led the team in catches.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the game anymore. He had 26 catches. And so is he the star receiver? I know George Pickens was hurt all year.
No, but I thought.
How many catches did he have?
Who, Pickens?
Pickens. 10?
He had 5.
5 catches. And look, he was hurt all year. So
yeah, he was hurt, right.
But they won a national title. Who was 4th on the list?
James Cook.
James Cook, a running back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Was Jermaine Burton a 5-star?
I guess.
I don't. I'm going to have to look that up.
Well, I mean, but does it matter? There's
it
two
doesn't
receivers.
Matter.
There were 2 receivers on the team that had more catches than he did. Ladd right. McConkey and Donnie Mitchell. And if you want to be technical and call Brock Bowers a tight end, okay, there were 2. But realistically, there were 3.
Jermaine Burton was a 4-star. So
okay.
But he
was also the 5th leading receiver on the team, and 3 of the top receivers are back.
Right. And I don't why are we overlooking AD Mitchell?
I don't
know.
That
kid is a really damn good player.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I know why. He was only a 3-star.
Oh, only a 3-star. Well, there you go.
He had the biggest catch of the Georgia
season. Some of y'all are just flat out brainwashed. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't. I've been railing against this stuff for over a decade. I don't know what else to tell you at this point.
And Mitchell's a true freshman.
Yeah. Right. He was ahead of Jermaine Burton on the depth chart. Beat him out.
Yeah.
Why is Jermaine Burton transferring? Well, maybe because a freshman beat him out.
And he had the biggest catch. It's not bigger than the Lindsey Scott catch. We'll never say that. That was the biggest catch in the history of the program. This might be number 2.
Might be.
It helped you win the national title. And I don't have a membership to the AJC, so I can't read Michael's column. Is he not talking? I mean, A.D. Mitchell, to me, how many catches did he have?
He had 29 catches.
So he had 29 catches. He's not a star, but he's a really damn good player.
Well,
and Jermaine Burton's a really damn good player, but he's not a star.
Well, he's behind Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell in the receiving pecking order.
I mean, how many catches did Bowers have?
Bowers had 56.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to worry of... I mean, is this team... Here's a couple of things. Is this team so good that Michael's looking for something? Maybe.
There's no doubt. People want to bitch about something. I mean, there's enough people out there that just they need something to bitch about, and they can't just be happy.
But wouldn't you be worrying about the defense?
I wouldn't be worried about anything.
I mean, I wouldn't either. But if I'm going to write a column about why Georgia's not going to win a national title in 2022. I'm not starting with the star power at wide receiver. I'm starting about all those guys who are going to be first and second round picks off the defense in the NFL draft.
Well, no, but see, and that's the other thing, too. I just don't think – I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it's the case.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here next year if Georgia doesn't win a national championship and pretend like it's some kind of disaster when it took 41 years to win the last
Yes.
one. I mean, come on.
Exactly right. Well, I mean, who's the last team to win back-to-back?
Alabama,
a decade ago.
10 years ago.
Doesn't happen very often.
No. No, and it's Penn State and Notre Dame are the teams on the clock. Penn State hadn't won one since 86. Notre Dame hasn't won one since 88. You're off the hook. Now, I don't. I know nobody wants to wait 20 years to win another one, but you're off the hook. Relax and enjoy it, for crying out loud. But I'm sorry, I can't. When I see a headline that says Georgia lacking star wide receiver for national title defense, that's a joke. I mean, that is absurd.
It really is. I don't know Michael. I don't. I've never come across him. I'm sure he's a fine writer, all that stuff. But I mean,
well, I just thought
the premise, the column might be great. The premise behind the column is laughable.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's where I said, I think for, like, because yesterday, like when I went home yesterday, like I really had to completely unplug from sports because I felt like I was going to go to the loony bin and I was in the Twilight Zone because of the conversation we were having. Like I really did. This is insane. So like this is that tipping point for me where when I see something stupid like that, I'm just going to call it out because it's enough. They won the national championship.
Yep.
Enough.
With those guys playing
enough.
Receiver, and they're back next year.
The offensive line is back, save for Jamari Sawyer. The quarterback's back. Brock Bowers is back. Ladd McConkey is back. Adonai Mitchell is back.
Yep.
You don't worry about running back at the University of Georgia. If there's one thing that stood true in my lifetime, you don't ever say, well, gee, what's Georgia going to do at running back? Never been a problem. Not going to be a problem
and
next
their offensive
year.
Line should be good again.
Right. So stop. With this ridiculous, I mean, I'm telling you, man, recruiting is the worst thing in college athletics right now. I mean, it is literally rotting people's brain.
It
is.
Yeah, I love recruiting, but I also don't love what spins off of it.
Well, what has spun off of it are people freaking out because Jermaine Burton transferred away from the University of Georgia. There are two receivers in front of him on the depth chart. There is a tight end that is the go-to number one target. That's three people. Okay, it's like the we're talking about the Hawks, how there's too much depth. Like there's not enough balls to go around. You didn't lose anything. He gained an opportunity. There's a difference.
It really is.
He's the fourth target. Jermaine Burton transferred because going into his junior year, he probably wants to be the first or second target on a team, and there are teams out there where he will be that. That is not at the University of Georgia.
And you said this, and they've got – I'm seeing three or four receivers in this class coming in too. So you made this point yesterday. The goal is not to showcase Jermaine Burton and get him stats. If he wants stats somewhere, then go somewhere else. That's fine. And look, I'm not calling him selfish. He's got the right to go somewhere else and and try to get stats and try to win too. I'm not saying he's going somewhere where he wants to lose a lot of games. I'm not saying that. But your job at Georgia is to win the football game.
Yeah, right.
And yes, you want guys. You know, guys do well when you win football games.
Yeah. Well, here's and I'll ask this question in closing. If Georgia were to have lost a football game and Kirby Smart stood at the podium and somebody said, "Why Brock Bowers didn't catch a pass today, coach, why not?" And he said, "Well, I wanted to make sure Jermaine Burton got touches so he wouldn't transfer away." I'm 100% convinced there are Georgia fans who would be like, "Oh, okay, well, it's cool we lost then." I'm convinced of that based on the conversations we've been having. From Twitter, Kevin from Dublin. Russ, you've been yelling a lot lately. I have, because these people are driving me nuts.
Well, Kevin, I was not going to yell today. Seriously, 2 damn minutes into the show, these two chuckleheads got me yelling at people.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, it's...
It's insane. I mean, we are dealing with insanity, period. This is nuts. This is beyond, like, fandom, and this is insanity.
Well, and you say it all the time, and I never thought this. I think this is the first season, and it's probably, I don't know, I can't believe that. It might be the first season you've ever brought this up and all the time we've been doing the show. But when you said it last summer, I went, maybe not. But as we've gone through this season, I have come to agree with it. For a lot of people, and not everybody, but for a lot of people, college football is not about winning.
Mm-mm.
It's about perception. It's about showcasing certain kind of offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's about looking good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about all this stuff. And look, I want my team to play well and to be sharp and win every game 40-0 and all that too, right? Clemson had like four games this year that went down to the wire against teams they usually blow out. And they lost three games, and it sucked for me. They still won 10 games. And the reality that, like, when they beat Louisville. Louisville's not a great team. They beat Louisville on a four-down goal line stop in the last seconds. They beat Georgia Tech on a two-point stop?
I think it was.
But close. Anyway, whatever happened. And, like, I wasn't happy with how they played, but they won the damn game.
Yep.
And that's what matters. Now, yes, you realize if you play like you did in that game, you're going to lose to Pittsburgh, which happened. But that didn't happen to Georgia.
Nope.
They lost. To me, this team should be, people should be out of their mind about this team. They won all their games, and then Alabama pulled their pants down on national TV and exposed them that one day.
Yeah.
And then they come back a month later and beat the brakes off that same team.
They beat everybody they played.
And you should be, I mean, they should be having parties about this team. Mm-hmm. Like 10 years from now, this team is going to be up there with, there's two or three right now, all-time great teams in Georgia history. And people should appreciate that. But we want to talk about the star power.
Hence the frustration. Hence, you know, Kevin tweeting me and saying, you've been yelling a lot lately. Yeah, because I'm dealing with insanity, and it drives me nuts. But just, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And we'll probably do this again on Monday. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk about the Hawks. I'm suddenly excited about Hawks basketball again. There that feels go. Good. We're gonna talk about why Trae Young scores too many points. That and more as we continue right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you here. We got Tori McElhaney on the way in about 10 minutes or so. The Hawks are back in action tonight. Clint Capella is questionable. So, you know, the Capella-Kongwu minutes situation, I think, is something to keep an eye on tonight as Onyeka is really kind of coming into his own right now. And I think this team has really found that defensive stopper, the enforcer, whatever you want to call it. You know, and Capella, too. Hopefully he can – you know, I don't know where he is percentage-wise. Is he 90%, 100%, whatever. But hopefully he can get healthy. It seems like he hasn't been healthy at all this year. And see if they can get those two working in tandem, you know, along with DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, and Trae Young. And I think he got something here. But they'll take on the Heat tonight at State Farm Arena. And the tip will be at 7:30. Of course, we'll have it for you here on the Superstations. I was a lot of talk today on the Dan Patrick Show about the Lakers, and don't worry, we're not going down that road. And I saw a tweet last night from the Awful Announcing, which kind of covers sports coverage, if that makes any sense. And they were talking about how, you know, that playoff game between San Francisco and Dallas had a lot of viewers, and apparently the national like talk shows on television. I don't know, is it Hot Take or First Take or the one with Stephen A, and then there's the
first take,
and then there's the spinoff on Fox, and apparently all they've been talking about this week are the Dallas Cowboys, and they're enjoying some of their highest ratings ever too. Which kind of goes back to what we were saying in a way in the last segment, and I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm so glad we can come in here and just talk about the Hawks. You're not going to get that on ESPN a lot. You know, if they're in a playoff series and it's on their airways, they'll talk about it. So I'm just glad that we can come in here and do that and talk about our local teams, because if you haven't figured it out yet, I mean, that's how this is covered now. You know, when something in the sports world happens, we can come in here, we'll talk about the Hawks and we'll say Onyeka Okongwu is blossoming and, you know, Capella's coming back from injury, and how are they going to manage those minutes? And that's what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks right now. If you turn on ESPN, they're not going to be talking about that. And that's okay. That's fine. I just wish people would understand that's how it's covered. They're telling people what they want to hear. And I think a lot of the stuff that's gotten me wanting to pull my hair out this week is because people take what they see on television as the gospel.
Right.
And it's entertainment. Yep. It's not information they're distributing. It's and you're these opinions that people have are based off entertainment, not concrete. And it's like that's why it gets so frustrating when you because at some point you've consumed some product that tells you that recruiting rankings matter and here's why. And usually what they do is they'll pull out the handful of teams that are really successful that recruit well and say, look, this is look at what Ohio State does. Look at what Alabama does. Look at what Georgia does. They won't talk about, you know, Florida had a losing record this year. LSU had a losing record this year. Texas had a losing record this year.
Yep.
They kind of leave that part out. And I think that's where a lot of this, when you get like, oh, you know, Georgia's in trouble because an elite receiver transferred away. I think that's where a lot of that comes from. Or the Hawks aren't any good because, you know, all they talk about is LeBron James. I mean, heck, according to Paul Pierce, if you don't mention LeBron James' names X amount of times on ESPN, they'll fire you.
Yeah. An elite receiver who averaged 2 catches a game, by the way. But the Cowboys thing, and I'm a 49ers fan, so I'm a little salty about that. Every person that I saw on TV last week picked the Cowboys to win, and that's great. Love it. Do it again this week. But, you know, the Cowboys, the Yankees, the Lakers, who else? Notre Dame, football.
SEC football.
SEC football. Anybody in college basketball? Duke and North Carolina, Duke.
Coach K, really.
Coach K.
Even more than just Duke.
Even if they're not what they're supposed to be, they're going to – the Knicks –
New York, yeah.
They're going to be covered like that.
Right, and that's okay. I mean, their job is to cater to a national audience.
Their job is to get people to watch their show.
But that's why I don't watch that stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, so if Stephen A. says that, you know, the Hawks are struggling because something that, you know, Trey Young's love life, don't bring that here. Like, just right. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Like, just don't bring – that's not what we do. So enjoy the Hawks game tonight. I hope they win. I'm glad Capella's back from injury. I'm really curious to see what that minute situation is going to be like. And just go Hawks. 2 big wins this week. If they can put together 3 in a row against Milwaukee, Minnesota, and Miami. I mean, after the last game, Trae Young wasn't ready to say that they've turned things around. You win tonight, it's going to be hard to say that.
Well, and if you do win tonight, you beat, in this stretch, the defending champion. And the team that right now is tied for first in the East, and you're 12th in the East. If that's not turning things around, I don't. And it's got to continue, but that's a pretty damn good start to turning things around.
Yeah,
is beating those 2 teams in 3 games.
Yeah.
So,
well, again tonight, tip a little after 7. Or I'm sorry, tip a little after 8:00. Wait, no, now I'm all confused.
Yeah, it's 8.
It's a 7:30 tip.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking it was 8:00 for some reason. Did they change it? Did they pull this game off of TV? What's today, the 21st?
Today's the 21st.
Okay, no. All right, this isn't as bad. I don't know if you were listening to Dan Patrick this morning, but they gave him the one-sheeter from January 21st, 2021.
Oh, no.
So when he introduced Ross Tucker, he had him calling the Chiefs game. He's not. He's calling the Buccaneers game.
Okay.
I did something similar just now. The Hawks played at Miami last Friday, and that was an 8:00 tip. And I was looking at January the 14th. On January the 21st, exactly 1 week later, the Hawks are playing Miami in Atlanta.
This game's
with
in Atlanta.
With a 7:30 tip.
7:30 tip. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Almost there.
Almost there,
the weekend.
Yeah.
Almost the weekend.
And we need the weekend to recover.
Do we? Do we get that?
This week has been a long year.
These last 2 days have been a long year. We'll take a break. Tori McElhaney jumps in here. We'll talk some Falcons, get her thoughts on the playoffs as well. That and more as we continue on the Midday Sports Zone right after this. Because the players gonna play, and the haters gonna hate, baby. I'm just gonna shake it off. 11:33, Russ and Daniel back with you, Midday Sports Zone.
I think we need to shake it off with all these.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Tori, thank you, Tori.
Yeah.
All the Georgia complaining, even though they won a national title.
Yeah.
We need to listen to Taylor Swift and shake it off.
100%.
Here's the thing. It's a mantra of which I live by. My girl Taylor wrote that song specifically for all of us, and especially at this point in time in our lives.
Yeah. So if somebody's mad that JT Daniels isn't coming back and Stetson is, or that Jermaine Burton transferred away and we think they're insane, we're just going to shake it off.
I'm going to start dancing around like Taylor and shake it off.
Please don't. Just shake. Just do
the
shake off.
Just like, just play the song and walk away.
There you go. Thank you. Wise words. Well, hey, we all appreciate the time and always good to catch up with you. Going into this off season now, you know, it feels like things really went all right there in year one. I think the Falcons won more games than a lot of us thought they were. But as we've kind of transitioned and start looking into what's to come in the offseason, I think the first thing that jumps out to me, Tori, is regardless, there's a lot of big decisions to make, but this is still very much a rebuild, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think you just look at where the Falcons are coming from 2021 into 22, there are so many free agents, so many guys that the Falcons had to bring in 2021 just to field a team, to be completely honest. I mean, they had to bring in guys on one-year deals because the salary cap situation was what it was, and they didn't really have the opportunity to really be big players in free agency. That's probably going to continue to still be the case in 2022, but it's not as, I guess, stricken as it was in 2021. But there are still things that the Falcons have to think about, and a lot of it is rebuilding very specific position groups. And I think when you, like, just look at the Falcons across the board, they have so many needs. And I tell people when I'm talking about the draft, I go back to something that Terry Fontenot said when we were talking to him, you know, even in his first press conference to now. Like, Terry Fontenot, I think, is a guy who wants to draft best player available. Like, that's how he wants to go about the draft. What's really interesting about the Falcons, though, is that if you draft best player available, you're going to be drafting for a need, because that's how many needs the Falcons have on this 2022 roster right now. So that's kind of how I want people to kind of look at this offseason, is that, yes, this is a rebuild, and they have a lot of work to continue to do to put the foundation in. But, you know, there's still a little bit of hope that they're still in the process of creating what they want here.
Tori, do we think Calvin Ridley will be with the team next year, or is that something they'll move on from, maybe trade or go another route there?
Yeah, I honestly, this is one of the first times that I felt like I haven't had a really good gauge on what direction they're going to go in. I think back to the Julio conversation from last year, and it always felt like this is the end, that it made sense. Like, it made sense that, you know, Julio wanted out. It made sense the Falcons would want to get some draft capital from him and take that, you know, cap hit off of the table a little bit. That all made sense, even in kind of the weirdness that was the months and the weeks leading up to Julio's trade. Like, that, you got the sense that things were coming to an end. With Calvin, I don't feel like you get a good sense either way. I mean, I think it's just as probable that he's on this 2020 roster as it is that he's not. And I think it really boils down to what is going to be good for both Calvin and his camp and the Falcons organization, because as of right now, like, there's just not a lot of information about their communication between each other. And I think that's what's really interesting about this situation, and probably why everything that we're talking about in terms of Calvin is such speculation, is because how quiet things have been from both Calvin's camp and from the Falcons organization. We really don't know what's going on with this relationship or with the future of it. So it's going to, I keep telling people, I'm like, when it comes to Calvin, like, we really may not know what's going to happen until it happens. Like, that's just how it feels, because things have been so quiet with this situation.
Tori McElhaney of AtlantaFalcons.com is our guest. Not necessarily asking about specifics, but, you know, there's been, people have wondered, would they trade Grady Jarrett? Could they trade Deion Jones? Just a few moves that could clear up some cap space. Would you be surprised if a big name like that is dealt this offseason?
I definitely wouldn't be surprised at all. I think that when you have a new regime coming in, the way that Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith are coming in, you know, there aren't as many loyalties to the previous regime's players as there are to the players that you want to bring in. I mean, it's like that in every single business. This isn't anything new or unheard of or anything like that. So if the Falcons felt like they could get more draft capital or get a good deal on the table to shave off some cap space, I mean, I definitely think that they are. I really do believe when Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith say that, like, everything's on the table, I actually really do believe it when they say that, because I feel like because of where the organization is at this point in time, everything does have to be on the table, because that's kind of where they are as an organization. We talk about a potential rebuild and kind of what this looks like. That means that no one's really safe. And I think everybody is kind of under the understanding of that.
Torrey, are they set with the staff, do you think? Unless, obviously, there's a lot of coaching openings out and somebody could get a promotion or whatever. But other than that, you think this will be the same staff they have next year?
Yeah, I do. I do think so. I think that they, you know, of course, you never know with guys building their new staffs elsewhere. And, of course, everybody's connected. So, you know, there's never, I'm never going to say that there's never going to be another opportunity for someone elsewhere and they take it. But I think for the most part, Arthur Smith has his guys. They do have to fill a running back position. But that's not something that I think is going to be, like, super heavy hitting or it be a big headline maker, but they do. That's really the only position that they really have to fill. And so I really do believe and think that this Atlanta coaching staff is going to look pretty similar from 2021 to 2022.
Torrey, what are they doing in the draft? We've got the 8th pick, 2 picks in the 2nd round. What do you think they do?
Oh, that's a great question. Honestly, I feel like they could go a number of ways. But for me personally, I think I would be okay with drafting someone for your line of scrimmage. Now, does that mean an edge rusher? Does that mean an offensive lineman? It could be either one. I'm okay with either one, because I think those are the two areas. If you're looking at the line of scrimmage, if you're looking at the offensive line, if you're looking at the defensive line, those are the two areas that the Falcons have to get astronomically better in from last year to now going into 2022. I just, that to me, I think is a really where you have to really hang your hat. However, you also got to think about this too. The Falcons need another cornerback. And I think that you've seen the success of A.J. Terrell with that number one pick last year, or the year before, 2020, whatever year we're in, my gosh. But I think that you need another cornerback. You need someone opposite A.J. Terrell. So what happens if you have another first-round guy across from A.J. Terrell? That's a pretty good look, I think, for the Falcons, for a team that wants to get better in man coverage. So with that in consideration, I could see them going cornerback as well.
Good stuff. Torrey McElhaney of AtlantaFalcons.com. We'll have it all covered. Thank you especially for the song this morning. I think we needed to hear that.
I'm so glad that I could be a ray of light to everyone, y'all and your listeners.
Awesome. Take care, Torrey. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Awesome. Y'all
thanks,
do the same.
Torrey's always a ray of light.
So this is the first song where I decided that despite being an old man and railing against everything that people younger than me do, that Taylor Swift was all right. And it was this video.
This video?
It wasn't this video. It was a video that a police officer made, and he was in his car with his partner, and they were lip syncing to this song, and it was great. And I was like, who wrote this song? Who is this? And it was Taylor Swift. And I'm like, oh, well, there you go.
That's a fun. Her video is a funny video to the song.
Is
too.
It?
Yeah, it's really good. So.
Where can you watch videos these days?
YouTube.
Okay.
Not MTV.
I saw something about a Teen Mom reunion, but nothing about videos.
Yeah. MTV has not been music television in about 20 years.
See, when kids back in the day when you didn't have HDTV and you had to walk 5 miles uphill in the snow to find the remote.
You remember how big a deal it was for a new video to come on MTV? That was a big damn deal.
Oh, yeah.
And pre-MTV, Friday Night Videos was the thing.
Now you're really starting to show your age, because that's I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember when Friday Night Videos would debut a video.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Well, I saw something yesterday. Think back to the mid to late 90s, right?
Okay.
So Nirvana, early 90s, grunge, Game Changer, sure. whatever. Well, and then somewhere in the mid to late 90s, the drummer from Nirvana set out to start his own band.
Yeah. Sure did.
One of your favorites, right?
My favorite. Number one.
Do you know the video for My Hero was released 24 years ago this week?
Is that right?
24 years ago.
They played My Hero at the concert.
Yeah.
When I went in October, and Dave came out at the front of the stage and said, all right, we're going to play some old school Foo Fighters. And they started playing My Hero, and I went, oh, my God, that is old school Foo Fighters. I mean, because that's off the – I don't know if that's off the first album.
Yep, 1998.
Yeah, and – There was a young person in the front of the crowd. He said, all right, I want you to start lip syncing. And the kid was singing along with him. He said, you must have had your mom's CDs or something.
That's great. We got to take a break. Well, as we do, we'll open up these phone lines, 478-646-ESPN. From J-Rad on Twitter, what did I miss? Been away from the radio. J-Rad, I'll answer that question more as we continue right after this. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you here, Midday Sports Zone. So J-Rad on Twitter, what did I miss? Been away from the radio. I guess the best way I know how to explain it is this, J-Rad. I got bad news for you, buddy. I know you just won the national championship, but it's not going to happen again. There's an egregious flaw in the way your coach constructs his roster because he doesn't run his offense in such a way that will attract 4- and 5-star receivers. So despite the fact that your top three receivers from 2021 are back in A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, and Brock Bowers, ignore all that. Jermaine Burton transferred away because of your flawed offense. So your philosophy doesn't work. You are not going to win another national championship. They don't have the star power at wide receiver to repeat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not going to happen.
And I hope you get the sarcasm that's coming out of my mouth right now. By the way, in another twist, I had Rod McKenzie, who covers Georgia Tech for 247, was on with us on Tuesday afternoon. And Georgia Tech had landed some transfers and wanted to catch up with Rod to get his thoughts on it. And I asked him about the transfer portal with the way 247 does it. And the information that Rod gave me was when a player enters the portal, he is re-ranked. Because we were talking about Tremont Sanders that day, our Summers. Remember the young man from East Tennessee State that's going to LSU, who was a no-star, but now that he's headed to LSU, he's a 3-star. Right. But what that is when these players go into the portal, they are then re-evaluated.
Right.
So I have said, you know, these transfer rankings are going to be more accurate than the recruiting rankings. And I've always said that, you know, people get – I even saw that somebody was putting out a podcast this week called Stars Matter. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't matter. Stars are a measure of what you did in high school. JT Daniels has now shown up in the 247 Sports Transfer Portal. He's a 3-star, folks. We can no longer say that he's a 5-star quarterback. He's right. Got the same amount of stars today that Stetson Bennett had coming out of high school. And I tell you what, I would be really curious to see if Stetson might not pick up a 4th if he entered that portal. So that just goes to show you the sites that give these stars out. I mean, if that doesn't prove it to you, again, the sun comes up in the east. He was a 5-star coming out of high school after being benched at USC and being benched at Georgia for whatever reason, injuries, whatever the case may be. I don't know, but that's just what happened. And he's going to be on to his 3rd school now. He is now considered a 3-star quarterback. And you know what? That's all right, because 3-star quarterbacks can win national championships.
Yeah, they can. We just saw it. It had been a while, but we did just see it. You don't have to do it the same way. Everybody doesn't have to play the game the same way. It's okay to do something different. It's okay to have a different philosophy.
No, it's not.
Russ, it's like the NBA, and I love the NBA. But when the Warriors went on their run and won those titles, everybody wanted to play like the Warriors. Well, not everybody has Steph and Clay and Draymond, and at that point, KD. So that's what the league became. Everybody tried to play like that, and it's kind of adjusted a little bit now. Look, I'm a Bulls fan. You know I'm a Bulls fan. When DeMar DeRozan signed with the Bulls, 90% of the quote-unquote NBA experts said, this is the worst signing in the NBA. Worst signing in the NBA. And he's had a great year, and they're in first place in the East. And the reason they said it is because he doesn't shoot three-pointers. He still plays in the mid-range. Well, there's your point. You can do things differently. You don't have to play the same way. And the call yesterday, Georgia needs to play up-tempo on offense to be like Alabama and other teams that do that. Not just Alabama, but other teams that do that. You might start to see some teams do what Georgia does. How about, I'd love for Clemson to recruit me a monster at tight end like Brock Bowers. Because look what kind of matchup problem he is. Not everybody does that. You don't, but, I mean, again, you can do things differently. Georgia did it differently, and that's okay. It's just, it's infuriating to me. And I don't know why it even is anymore. Maybe it should just be laughable. But we get caught up in perception,
yeah,
and the way things look as opposed to the end product on the field and the score on the scoreboard.
Right. And that's one of the reasons when I was younger I was drawn to sports, because there's a score at the end of the game. And again, the frustration on this conversation – for me, it doesn't come from the concern on the part of the fans. It comes from me thinking, but because of what I've said, I've come to realize it ain't all about winning. But for me, coming to that conclusion, but yet still thinking somehow winning the national championship would make all this go away. My bad.
You know the phrase that I hate more than anything in sports. We're better than our record.
Oh.
Or the game was closer than the score might indicate.
Yes.
I could do two hours just on that. There's a reason we keep score. This isn't figure skating and diving. And what other sport does that? Gymnastics. They're great athletes. But there's not somebody sitting on the side of the field raising up a score to tell us who won. These schools spend a lot of money on these big damn scoreboards in the end zone. Look at them.
That may be your best line of the week.
Right?
Oh.
I mean, there's not somebody judging you, giving you a score.
No.
There's a scoreboard.
Right. And there's a playoff, too, now. So a lot of the judgment's coming out of the game, thankfully. And I hope it continues. And I hope that coaches like Kirby Smart continue to be Frank Sinatra and do it their way.
That's right. Love it.
We got to take a break for the top of the hour. Phone lines open, 478-646-ESPN. Back with more right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Sports Radio 93.1.
Hour number two of the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you here. Phone lines open at 478-646-ESPN. Wherever you want to go in the world of sports is A-okay with us. We've made it to the NFL playoffs, finally, after a long wait of an 18-week regular season. A round of, I don't know what that was last week. The playoffs finally begin.
Football playoffs is what it was last week. It was awesomeness.
I watched every second of it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, you did.
But I just,
you can, you're the NFL. You're exactly what the NFL.
I am.
Wants.
I'm their sucker.
Complain and
Roger Goodell can do whatever he wants. I'm gonna watch it.
You're an all day sucker.
I mean, no, he's holding the yarn and I'm the cat. There's no doubt about it.
Yep, Lucy,
no doubt about it.
Lucy and the football.
They're going to keep watering it down, and they're going to keep adding games, and I'm going to keep bitching, and I'm going to keep watching.
Keep watching every second.
So
I mean, I seriously, and
but you know what? What we were talking about in the first segment, the stuff with UGA, it stems from people have a need to complain about something. This scratches that itch for me.
Yeah, yeah,
it does. I think it does, because I'm still going
to
watch.
I didn't watch all day Saturday because I went to Sherron Wright's game where they at Clemson where they raised his jersey up in the rafter, Macon native, which was awesome to see.
Yeah, that was cool.
So I didn't watch all day Saturday, but I watched every second Sunday. And I watched – when I watched the Monday night – I watched the Saturday night game the whole game. And I watched every second Monday as well. So I love it. And these, I can't wait for these games coming up this weekend. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday.
Oh, they're going to be great. Real quick from Kevin on Twitter. Every day Daniel reminds us that his fandom covers three different states for professional sports and a totally different state for college. Would not surprise me if he said the Russian national ice hockey team was his favorite. Who you got for cricket?
I like the Ukrainian national hockey team, Kevin. Watch yourself. We're coming for you. And cricket, I don't know what the hell cricket is. Is that the one where they bounce the
– Yeah.
It's kind of like baseball?
Yeah. Only lasts like 4 days or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I got no time for that.
I could – you know, I was going to be funny and name a cricket team just to be funny, but I don't know any cricket
teams.
I'll take the
Indian cricket team.
Okay. Are they good?
I guess. All right. I was trying to find the cricket rankings.
Well, good luck with that. While you do that, I'll go to a phone call. 478-646-ESPN. Kirkland in Macon, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Who's your favorite cricket team?
Cricket, what's that?
All right, you go fishing with cricket. I don't know what that was a sport.
Yes, that's right.
What's on your mind, man?
Yeah, you fish for crappie with cricket. Mm-hmm. But, it's crazy, man. I mean, they still complaining, man. Jermaine Brett, wasn't he, like, hurt, like, some of that season last year?
Oh, maybe.
He didn't play the whole year.
Yeah, he
didn't.
He played in 12 games.
Yeah.
That doesn't even matter, though, man. Who cares? How do he go to sleep at night writing that article, man? I mean, come on, though, man. He can't really be pleased with himself, man.
Oh, I bet he's fine. He's got a national championship ring. He's going to go somewhere where he feels like he can be more of a difference maker. I mean, you can be happy in both directions here. I don't think it's really going to impact Georgia offensively. Again, the three leading receivers are back. And he's going to go somewhere where he might be one of the top three receivers for the team he's going. It can be a win-win.
I'm talking about the reporter,
right?
It's just clickbait, dude. It's just twisting the knife, it's pushing the button. But it just continues this conversation and this narrative out there that's just it's got to stop. At some point, what has happened, like what has actually happened on the field and not what is being talked about on a message board, at some point what is happening on the field has to win.
It has to matter. And look, I love – Jerry Rice is one of my all-time favorite players for the 49ers. Wide receiver, greatest wide receiver ever, and it hurts me to say this. You can find wide receivers anywhere. If your offensive line is good and your running game is good and your quarterback does his job, wide receiver, is it the least important position on the NFL, on the offense?
I mean, I hate to say least important because they're all important, but it's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
I mean,
we get caught up
in – And there's nothing wrong with having great wide receivers.
No,
but you know what? You can win without great receivers. It's hard to win without, for example, a great offensive line.
Let's say it this way. Wide receiver is most reliant on everybody else doing their job of any position in football.
There you go.
In any position.
Protection.
Right. Somebody's got to throw you the ball.
The accuracy of the quarterback, quarterback's arm strength,
now,
how much time he has to throw.
Now, you've got to run precise routes and all that, and you've got to do your job.
The running game make it easier to do all of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way down on the list. Kirkland, you got anything else? Oh, he's gone. All right, 478-64. Sorry, Kirkland. 478-646 ESPN. Ken and Macon, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. main reason I called was I was reading something about Fred Freeman and the Yankees and everything.
Oh,
I was concerned about that, but I'm hoping that somehow they get back to talking. I mean, Major League, and decide what they're going to do so he can get his mind made up. But I know it's a 6-year deal and everything. That's what it's about, and I hope they can get him signed because to me, he's the main cog in that offense and the team, and I'm hoping that they can go on to sign Freddie Freeman as soon as possible.
Yep. Hey, Kim, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, thanks, obviously, Kim. That can't happen until the lockout ends, whenever that's going to be. I'm just I tell you what, I've moved on. As a fan, I've moved on. I don't want him to end up on the East Coast. I'd much rather him end up out. I'd prefer him to end up with the Angels. If I could pick a team, don't.
I was trying to see if I had on a Philly shirt. I don't. I'm just trolling you. I'm sorry. No, I want Freddie Freeman to stay with the Braves. Freddie Freeman should be a Brave his entire career. That, I mean, it's, he should be. There's no salary cap. It's not like the NFL where you got it, where you got to trade guys a year early, like we've talked about. That's not the case. Freddie Freeman should be a Brave like Chipper Jones was his entire career.
But you know what? And I'm not going to be bitter towards Freddie if he moves on. I'm not going to be upset with the front office if he moves on, because if the number is 6 years, 100 and what was 6 years, 180, right? $30 million per. If he can get that, more power to him. But let me kind of approach this from a different angle. How many people playing Major League Baseball today would Alex Anthopoulos give a six-year, $180 million contract to? Whew. It's a short list, don't you think?
Yeah, well, he didn't give Ronald that.
I mean, he does not like to give out long-term deals.
Yeah. I mean, he gave Acuna and Ozzie long-term deals, but they're way lower cost than that.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, yeah, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often if it happens at all. And, you know, the one time he did do it, he kind of got burned by it. I mean, he gave Ozuna a long-term deal. Not a long, not like that.
It was, what, 4 years,
It was
right?
4 years. And he got burned by it.
And he got burned. Exactly. And it came up yesterday afternoon, didn't come up on the midday show. I mean, we're wondering what might the Braves do with Marcelo Ozuna. He's getting into it with fans in the Dominican right now. Did you see that video?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they had to stop the game. It was a section. And then the players had to come out on the field and separate. And, yeah, I mean, it's a dumpster fire.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show you
the
video.
Send it to me. I did not see that.
It's a dumpster fire. So, you know, if Alex Anthopoulos is not comfortable giving Freddie 6 years, I would do it, but again, who built the World Series championship roster and who's doing a talk show, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to sit here and complain if Freddie Freeman walks, and I'm not going to be mad at Freddie either. It's just it's the business side of sports that gets kind of sucks sometimes.
It stinks.
But here's the thing, though. It's kind of like what we're talking about with Jermaine Burton. Is he a talented player? Hell yeah. Do you want talent to leave your team? No. But is your team going to be okay without him? Yes.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
The Braves, if Freddie Freeman walks, the Braves are going to be okay.
It's the exact same thing. They won the championship. So that washes over, well, it should. For you and me, it does. They won the championship. So you don't freak out about every little move. And B, trust the guy who's in charge. You know why? Because of A. See A. Why do you trust Alex?
Because he won the World Series.
Why do you trust Kirby?
Because they won a national championship.
I mean, to me, it's that simple. I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah. And I'm, you know what? And I tell you, to be honest with you, as a Braves fan and all the fun that is going to come this summer when they get to travel around and celebrate this championship,
oh, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. I am more concerned with them getting back on the field than who's playing first base at this point. And winning the World Series makes this a lot easier too.
Right.
If Freddie moves on. I mean, I hate, Bill brought this point up. That I thought was pretty good. You know, it's going to stink for Freddie that he doesn't get to enjoy the fruits of that labor because he's the only one left from the rebuild. So for him not to be around to enjoy sort of the victory lap in 2022, that part of it stinks. But winning that World Series, if the Braves do move on from Freddie Freeman, makes it a lot easier to take. We're going to take
There's a much bigger concern about the game itself starting on time than what the Braves are going to do.
100%. We're going to take a break. 478-646 ESPN if you want to jump in here. Anywhere you want to go in the world of sports, including cricket. We'll talk. I'm kidding about that.
New Zealand, baby.
Did you really take the time to look that up?
I did.
They got a good rugby team.
They're number two in the world. So I'm going to New Zealand.
Well, there you go.
I don't want to be a bandwagon guy and pick the number one team.
Well, We'll take a break. Talk some NFL playoffs, that and more right after this. 12:15, Russ and Daniel back with you here at Midday Sports Zone. Phone lines open at 478-646-ESPN. The NFL playoffs, I'm saying it, get underway this weekend.
You're so wrong.
By the way, have you seen the forecast for Sunday?
It's supposed to be like 20 degrees in Green Bay. It's supposed to snow in Kansas City.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be sunny and clear here and cold.
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the NFL games. Yes.
We are.
Okay.
But more importantly, we're talking about me watching these games by the fire pit.
It's supposed to be like in the 30s tonight.
Well, tonight's not a good night to
tonight's,
be out.
No, tonight's going
to
be bad.
If you have plans to be out tonight, cancel them. It ain't worth it.
So are you going to sit by the fire pit Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
No.
Or just one or the other?
Just one or the other.
Okay.
I can't. I'm not doing both days. And I'm more likely to do Sunday because I don't know, man. It's just something peaceful about it. It's just a good way to spend a Sunday afternoon, you know?
I'm with you.
Might fire up the grill, make some dinner. The only problem with the grilling part of that is the game kicks off at 3. And, I mean, I've got lights outside and flashlights and stuff like that, but the daylight needed to see, especially with these bad eyes of mine, I got to get that stuff done by like 5:30. And you know I like to do it low and slow. So,
I can't wait till Saturday.
It's going to be epic. 4:30, Bengals and Titans. Will we get an official announcement, or have we gotten an official announcement on Derrick Henry? I mean, I think he's going to play.
He's playing. I thought the NFL Network pretty much said he's playing.
Because Mike Vrabel on Monday, or maybe it was Tuesday, basically said, look, he's practicing full go, and we're hitting, and he's 100% in practice, so barring any setbacks.
I haven't heard there's a chance he's not playing, but I guess they haven't made an official announcement yet.
So he's going to play.
He's going to play.
Yeah, which is huge for Tennessee. They're the number one seed in the AFC. Look, and they've done this. Obviously, they lean on their defense.
Yep.
It works. But they've done this without Julio Jones. They've done this without Derrick Henry. And now I don't know what Julio's status in the game. But, you know, do you feel like we, being NFL fans, not Titans fans. Titans fans are in love with their team. We know that. They're the number one seed in the AFC. But because it's not Kansas City, do you think like they're being undersold a little bit?
Oh, sure. Because everybody thinks it's Kansas City. There are a lot of people who think the Bills are going to the Super Bowl. Well, to do that, they're probably going to have to beat Kansas City in Tennessee.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah. Well,
that's tough.
It is tough. It is tough.
I did not realize. I heard this earlier in the offseason or in the postseason, so last week. Patrick Mahomes has not played a road playoff game in his career.
Well, that's going to change if they win on Sunday.
If they win Sunday, unless Cincinnati wins.
And now let's go back to that. Let's circle back around there. Because this is what I love about this week. Tennessee is the favorite. Tennessee is the number one seed. But is anybody going to be surprised if Joe Burrow goes off and pulls the upset?
Not at all.
I mean, I'm rooting for Cincinnati. I'm not even going to try to hide that. I am a huge fan. I become more of a Joe Burrow fan every time I watch him play football.
He's tough, man. And he doesn't panic. The poise with which he plays with is it's special. And he's only in his second year.
Right.
And remember, he tore his ACL. Or was it his ACL? I think it was his ACL. He tore up his knee. So,
now, granted, the touchdown pass where the inadvertent whistle blew should have been called back, that's not his fault. That play still happened. He still jumped while he was going out of bounds, threw back across his body at a perfect strike in the end zone for
a
touchdown.
And it's not like it was a turnover. They would have replayed the play.
Right.
Still could have scored.
Right.
You know, so
but it was a hell of a play.
It was.
I mean, you talk about poise. That's it to me. I mean, how many quarterbacks in that situation either step out of bounds and kick themselves because they should have thrown the ball away or throw the ball away.
Yeah, not many make the play that he made.
Pat Mahomes can make that play. Aaron Rodgers can make
that
play.
Josh Allen can make that
play. Josh Allen can make that play. Yeah. There's a short list of guys. Kyler Murray can make that play.
Russell Wilson, maybe.
Russell Wilson. But that's a short list of guys that make that throw.
He's special, and they are progressing as a team around him at a really nice rate. Tennessee's tough, though, man. Tennessee plays smart. They don't turn the ball over. I mean, Vrabel has turned into a hell of a coach. And isn't it funny, of all of the, quote, Belichick disciples, the best one is a guy who never coached for Belichick. He played for Belichick,
right,
but he never coached with him. So I don't think he coached with him, did he? I don't think he did. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he was. I mean, I don't know if he was ever labeled a player coach, but I'm sure by the end of the tenure, he's right in the middle of all the defensive meetings.
Right, right. But I don't think he was ever officially.
Yeah, I don't think he officially coached.
Because I think he went to Houston and coached with Houston. Yeah, he went straight. He was with the Ohio State. Then he joined the Texans staff, and he was on the Texans staff until he got this job. He's a heck of a coach, man. And Russ, they play hard.
Oh, yeah. It's old school football.
Yeah, it really
is. And it works. It really works. The 49ers are at the Packers.
Yes, sir. Pick it. Everybody pick the Packers, just like they did last week.
Oh, I think the Pack. I of all the matchups, this is, like I said, my confidence pick, A1 would be on Green Bay winning this game.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Add some more on here. I'm loving it.
Aaron Rodgers is getting ready to have a field day.
I love it. Love it.
Jimmy G just ain't the guy to get it done.
Smack them in the mouth the first drive of this game, like we did the Cowboys the other day. Love it.
Kyle Shanahan's going to get arrogant and impatient. Is there anything else I can do for you?
I'm taking it all in. And for the love of God, somebody who works for NFL Network, teach your analyst who worked for you that there's a player for the 49ers whose name is Debo. His last name is not Samuels. It's Samuel. He's one of the best players in the NFL. They asked Debo the other day what position he plays. He said wide back.
That's a great answer. That is fantastic.
Because he's wide receiver and a running back. No, the 49ers and the Packers played early in the regular season. The 49ers should have won. They didn't. They blew it. Packers won. Give them credit. I've got a lot of confidence in this game. Now, it probably means the 49ers get beat by 30. But I felt the same way last week. I know that Packers are the number one seed, and they've got him at quarterback. And quarterback obviously leans towards the Packers. Jimmy G is
heavily.
Not going to – Jimmy G is probably the worst starting quarterback in the playoffs left.
That's yeah. Because he's
reckless with the ball. We saw that last week. But I like our chances. I like our chances.
All right. Well, I mean, Green Bay's a 5.5-point favorite. I thought the spread would be a little bit more, but it is the NFL playoffs.
That's the playoffs.
That's the biggest spread this weekend, by the way, 5.5.
Is it really?
Yep, that's the biggest one. Tennessee's 3.5. Then you've got Tampa Bay 2.5, and then Kansas City 1.5. The Rams and the Buccaneers, I think the Rams are going to win this game. I you know, is how healthy is Wirfs, the health of that offensive line for Tampa Bay. We know they're beat up, and it's the recency bias thing. Full disclosure, seeing what I saw Monday night and what that Rams defense did to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, but that Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and Von Miller, that is a nasty, nasty front for LA.
And it sounds like, just from some of the Bucks writers who I follow on Twitter, it sounds like Jensen will play and Wirfs won't play. That's going to be tough. Now, if you don't have both of them, then you're really in trouble. So, obviously, having one of them is better than not having both of them. But, man, going against that line without all your guys, that really could cause some problems.
That could be, yeah, it really could. I mean, look, you got Tom Brady taking snaps, so if you're a Tampa Bay fan, you're probably not worried. And I guess we have to ask could this be his last game? I mean, I think we've reached that stage of his career every time we go into a playoff game and it's not a certainty like it was last week against Philadelphia.
Right.
Could this be Tom Brady's last game?
So. I think you have to ask that. I mean, we don't know that he's coming back next year. There's a pretty good chance he is, but there's also a chance he's not. And if they lose, it very well could be his last game.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting to see, because this is a game that you would think, like, the Rams haven't lived up to. It's hard to say that because they did win the division.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't live up to what everybody said they would be, because they got all the star power.
But they're also in the toughest division.
They
don't
are
you
in
think?
The toughest division.
I mean, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix,
and three
Arizona.
Three of those teams made the playoffs.
At least I didn't call them St. Louis.
It's the only division in the. I mean, it had three teams in the playoffs. In
no,
the
that's the best division.
Three of seven.
Yeah, that's a tough division to get out of for
so,
sure.
But you would think, oh, the Bucs got Tom Brady. They're going to win. I think this is going to be a heck of a game. I really do. The Rams are dangerous.
Yeah.
If the Rams play like they did last week, they can win the whole thing. But how often do they play? I mean, they're not very consistent.
Well, and that's kind of the name of the game. So yeah. That's a 3 o'clock game on Sunday. We'll take a break, come back, talk Bills Chiefs. The phone lines are open if you want to jump in here. 478-646 ESPN is the number. Back with more right after this. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley back with you here on the Midday Sports Zone talking NFL playoffs as they are upon us this weekend. But before we do that, let's get to a phone call. 478-646-ESPN. Jay is in Macon. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
All right. How are you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, next year you bench Bennett and start Ballou. I mean, come on. As long as the Jared Tall and the Walker are available.
Oh, have mercy.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, there was something that Stetson had said, you know, after the national championship game. And my estimation of him as a leader and as a person stepped up about 3,000 miles, to kind of quote Larry Munson, when he said, you know, after the sort of kind of fumble, you know, that nobody was ever sure about.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want to be the one to lose this game for us, essentially. And after that, it was another gear for him. And it was like, wow, where did you come from? But it was always in him.
Yeah.
And when nobody else saw it, Kirby saw it, the coaching staff saw it, his teammates saw it, because they all love the guy, you know. And we're not there. You know, we don't get to see. And I don't know what happened with JT Daniels. I really don't. But the thing is that now he's going to go play somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I wish him the best. I wish Jermaine Burton the best. I hate he's leaving. But then, well, you know, people have to do what they have to do for themselves. But like I say, Stetson earned a great deal of respect from a whole lot of people, I think.
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, Jay, great call. We appreciate it. And that leadership that Jay's talking about, I mean, that intangible. And to, like he said, the coaches saw it. And the one thing, another great point Jay made that I have to remind myself of sometimes as well. Like, we watch these games, and we're passionate, we care about these teams, and we have our opinions, or whatever, so on and so forth. But there's a lot of information we just don't have. We're not in the meetings. We're not
can't watch practice.
We're not hanging out in the players' lounge.
Right.
We're not going through summer workouts. There's a, I mean, 98%. Well, I'm just throwing out a random number, but I would say it's probably 97 to 98% of what the preparation, or if you take into account practices, team meetings, all of that stuff. We don't see 98% of what goes into a college football season. What we see is 3 hours on Saturday.
Right. And I don't tell you, I mean, you know, not to be these kids work hard, guy, but
they do.
They work a lot of hours. I just from being around Ben and how many hours he works now and how much he tells me those players are there, a lot of it on their own. I knew they worked a lot of hours, but it's a lot. It's even more than I thought it was. So you're right. And Russ, it's pretty damn clear that his teammates like playing with him and like playing for him. And I know the quarterback isn't the boss, but the quarterback is the leader.
Yeah.
And the other guys on the team, they don't have to like him, but you got to want to play for him. And you got to want to go to bat for him. And they do.
Mm-hmm.
And do they do that with JT Daniels? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they feel about him. And I kind of hope we don't ever know. I don't want his teammates coming out and saying this happened or this happened.
All I can do is see what we see on the cameras. I would be shocked if they did have a problem with him.
Right.
I mean, JT Daniels was right in the middle of everything through this whole process.
Cheering him on, talking to Stetson on the sideline. It's not like he was over sitting on the end of the bench by himself.
Pouting.
He was,
yeah,
right.
No.
He seemed like a good teammate.
He's in the middle of all of
right.
it.
Right. And why he didn't play, I don't know.
And we may never know.
There's speculation, there's rumors, and we're not getting into that stuff. But it's pretty clear they like playing with Stetson. And that's important in football. You know, pitcher, baseball, you don't have to like the guy. You don't have to care. It's such an individual team sport that a pitcher can do his own thing and the other guys don't have to really be around him. Quarterback, you have to. It has to be a unit. And Georgia offense, no matter what people say about it, was a really damn good unit this year.
Yeah.
And he's the leader, and it worked out. And it's a good thing he's coming back. I don't care if people don't believe that. If you are out there and you don't believe it, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he's coming back.
It is. It really is. 478-646 ESPN, Ken incoming. What's up, man?
Well, you know, guys, it's been, by the way, great run of shows this week. Top notch. I can't remember when I've been more entertained by you two knuckleheads. But, I'm going to tell you, after all this Georgia discussion this week, guys, I personally think that Georgia fans have been so in the wilderness for 41 years, they don't know how to embrace success. I truly believe that. I've come to the decision that we're just a bunch of head cases, and if there's not controversy, we don't feel comfortable. So, yeah, you know, maybe. There's that. Well, you know.
You don't know what to do with your hands. It happens.
Exactly. I was going to use that analogy, but it's kind of overused.
You're just a bunch of drama queens.
I'm really upset at DirecTV Stream. I found out yesterday, Daniel, that I do not have the Golf Channel with my current package.
Oh.
And I am furious.
Well, you have ESPN Plus, though, right?
Is it on ESPN Plus?
All golf is on ESPN. Or, you know, what? You know, the PGA Tour Live?
Yeah.
That's always been on NBC Plus,
yeah,
or whatever. It's on Watch
right.
ESPN now.
Oh, you just made my day.
Now,
thank
broadcast,
you.
The CBS or the NBC broadcast that's on Golf Channel is still on Golf Channel. But there's
okay.
golf on
all
right now, Ken.
I know.
And
well,
the broadcast doesn't start until 3 o'clock. So,
Russ, I want real quick. I don't want to, you know, I don't keep you on too long. But, Russ, I want to let you know Atlanta United starts a month from today, and they traded Barco.
Oh, they did.
He's going back to Argentina. He's going back to River Plate. So, you know, if there's no baseball, I know you're going to have your basketball, but I'm just saying there's a nice little filler right there.
Oh, no, I think I'd rather talk about soccer right now, than especially college basketball. Yeah.
But anyhow, guys, I'm going to let you go. I love the shows this week. Y'all be good.
All right, man.
Take care. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate the compliments. We'll try to keep it going. Just need another controversy next week.
Yeah. Start us one up next week, Ken.
You know,
figure out something.
Can we start an NIL to just encourage a player to not, don't transfer, just go in the portal and create a stir?
There you go. God.
Oh, have mercy. No, and look, it's not everybody. I think it's a vocal minority of people. But, you know, it's – relax. J-Rad sent me a tweet earlier that I just kind of got a chuckle out of. He said, all these folks worrying and stressing over players as I sit smiling, not a care in the world – ordering more UGA merch. You know, it's okay. Like, celebrate. Just be joyful. Celebrate.
I would not care. And look, I've been through this. When Clemson won in 2016, I didn't think about the 2017 season until July or August. I was so euphoric about Clemson winning and I didn't think about the next year.
Yeah, and I think that's most people.
I didn't care who was going to play quarterback.
Right.
You know, I mean, so, I think
that's
you're
most
right.
people.
I do think it is most people.
Yeah.
We want it to be all people.
it was just, like I said, you know, is it 60%, 50%, 25%? I don't know. It was loud enough that players felt like they needed to respond to it, so we responded
right.
to it. And apparently,
right, if the players hadn't responded, we probably wouldn't even brought it up.
Right, and apparently it got us fired up enough that we were incredibly entertaining for Ken, so it all works out in the end. But
Ken likes salty Russ.
But in the end.
But I think Ken's, I think Ken's a drama queen, too. So.
No, he's not. Yeah, see, now you're trying to stir the pot. Let's get in one more call before the break. I don't want to make Perry wait through the break. Perry on the line in Macon. What's up, man? How
What's
you doing?
Up, Perry?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I want to thank y'all for the entertainment. I've been hearing the promo several days now of Daniel's rant the other day. And then today, first thing right off the bat, Russ and then Daniel both start ranting. So y'all been entertaining. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad we could entertain you, Perry. I am. If there's that's the thing. If there's anything good that's come out of all of this, at least you guys are entertained.
Perry, I might have to get my blood pressure medicine checked.
Hey, and you better get some for Bill, too. He needed some, too.
Oh, man. We'll do it. Hey, have a great weekend, man.
Thanks, Perry. Appreciate it, bud.
Oh, man. Yeah, I should probably start going to bed earlier. I need time to, like, wake up, you know, take in the day, and then mentally prepare for.
I was good to
Let's
go.
See the hot take.
I was good to go. I come in this morning, I'm all ready, I'm calm, I'm relaxed. Had a couple little naps this morning, I was ready.
Couple of naps?
Yeah.
What time do you get up, Farmer Daniel?
I got up at 6.
Goodness.
And I did a little work till 6:30, and then I napped until 8:30. Oh, no, till 8, and then I did a little more work. Took a shower, and then I took a nap till like 10:15.
Oh, well, good for you. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you woke up.
But see, I can't take my afternoon nap today because of work. I've got some stuff going on at work today. So
yeah.
I usually take a nap after the show.
Nobody wants to hear that. Some people have to work.
Especially you.
Oh, I might be able to sneak in like a 15-minute one here or there. Seriously, we got to take a break. 478-6460 ESPN. Back with more right after this. Never tell you a lie. 1246, Russ and Daniel back with you here on the Midday Sports Zone. Wrapping it up on this Friday afternoon. Real quick note here, and I appreciate Craig sending this. Just some news that you may have heard yesterday. But Bruce Yawn passed away. And for folks in Statesboro, obviously, you know, who Bruce was. He was the owner of Snooki's, the diner there in town.
No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he was a former UGA player as well, and a big part of the community there in Statesboro, Georgia.
When was this?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon.
When I was working on the book with Chris Hatcher, I went down there, and the first time we went down there, he said, oh, we got to go eat at Snooki's.
Yep.
And we went to Snooki's and ate. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And I never got that opportunity.
Really?
Yeah, because they had closed, I guess, a couple years prior to me getting down there, but yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, it's a sad story, and Craig, appreciate you sending that along, so just wanted to mention that in case you had not heard. All right, so the NFL playoffs this weekend. Oh, one more note that just broke. DJ Durkin, co-defensive coordinator at Ole Miss, is headed to Texas A&M in the same role. So
interesting.
Jumping from one spot to the other within the division. How about that?
Wow.
Probably got
a big raise.
Yeah, probably.
You would think.
Yeah.
Going to Ole Miss to A&M. A&M's throwing money at everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got money to spend.
They do. I'm not saying they're wrong to do it. I'm just saying they're.
And they're desperate for a winner. So, you know, they're going to do whatever they feel they need to do to make that happen. All right. The other NFL playoff game we haven't had a chance to talk about, and that is Kansas City and Buffalo. And I don't think I'm being overly dramatic when I say it. I think this is the AFC Championship.
I do too. I think I had somebody tell me whoever wins this game is winning the Super Bowl.
Really? Wow. Wow.
So and look, obviously I'm a 49ers fan. I want the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. But what a great story that would be if the Bills finally could win the Super Bowl. After that team went to 4 straight and lost 4 straight. I mean, to finally win one would be, for that fan base,
oh, that'd be
it
incredible.
Would blow that. I mean, it would go blow out of water, out of the water. Yeah. So it would be great to see that happen.
It really would. No, I think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl if I had to pick a team to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Packers are going to lose Saturday. So you better don't bet your house on that. I can't wait till Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Kansas City's a 1.5-point favorite there, and the forecast is cold. It's January.
It's snow.
Is there snow?
Supposed to be.
I'm seeing 40 degrees and sunny.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they said snow earlier. Maybe it's changed since last. Well, since a couple days ago. They said snow a couple days ago. So I'm sure it can change.
Right. Well, you know, weather is technically science. And it is. It changes.
It changes. That's right.
You got to keep up and move with it.
Yes.
It doesn't stay the same.
No.
All right.
What's it supposed to be in Green Bay? It's supposed to be in the 20s in Green Bay, I think. At least that's what they were saying again a couple of days ago.
Well, let's see. You've got
and they're playing at 8 o'clock, too.
So. Right. They're playing a night game. No, it's down to 12 degrees now.
Can't even imagine.
8 o'clock kick on Saturday night.
Would be 7 o'clock for them. But
yeah, 2% chance of precipitation, so you're not going to see any of that stuff. But
probably wind.
According to AccuWeather, at 8 p.m. Saturday night, 11 degrees at kickoff.
Oh.
11.
Mm-mm.
No, thanks. I started getting a little, I'm staying inside at 55. I couldn't imagine going to a football game when it's 11 degrees.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine being in 11 degrees.
Yeah. Well, they're used to it, obviously, right. You know, so, but yeah.
Layers, like you always say.
Layers. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Layer up. That's the key. And if I was sitting in the stands, whoever I'm going to the game with, I'm bringing a blanket. Like, we're getting close together and we're getting under that blanket.
Yes.
But isn't that what you want? I mean, that's the thing. You get Green Bay and San Francisco, which is a great NFL rivalry. And you put it in primetime on Saturday night in Lambeau Field. That's going to be epic. And it's so cool. Like, I don't know if you saw Aaron Rodgers' press conference earlier this week with him talking about, you know, somebody asked him about the rivalry. And he said, and he answered it really well, I thought, in that it's something that we always say, the players don't care about that stuff. And he was saying, you know, for the guys in the game, that probably doesn't matter. But he said, I grew up on this. And he referenced, and just to kind of drive home the point, you know, he referenced T.O.'s catch in amongst, gosh, he was surrounded by, what, four or five Packers? You know exactly what play I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. When I said T.O.'s catch, I
know exactly what it was.
But, you know, I'd forgotten.
I didn't see that live either.
Well, I had forgotten about the fumble on the play before that, and he brought that up.
It was, I think there was like two, it was Jerry Rice fumbled.
Yeah.
And they called it, and today it would be overturned, and it would have been a fumble. They called him down.
But back then, Jerry Rice got every call in the book, so.
Well, yeah. I can live with that. But. And T.O. also had dropped like six passes in that game. That's why, and I mean, he caught that one, which is easily the toughest one. He got nailed when he was catching it. It's the last play of the game. There's not another play. And, I mean, it was just, we were driving to our honeymoon. We got married the day before.
Wow. But back in those days, kids, in the NFC, if it was a game involving San Francisco, Green Bay, or Dallas, it was must-see TV.
Yeah, it was that trio for about 8 years.
Yeah.
Where one of them was going to go to the Super Bowl and most likely win it.
Yeah. It should be a fantastic
Can't wait.
Weekend. Oh, by the way, Georgia and Georgia Tech have basketball games this weekend.
They do?
I didn't want to not mention college basketball. But, no, the games this weekend in the NFL should be fantastic. It's been a long wait to get here. It's hard to believe. It's January the 21st. And we're talking, I mean, we're not even to the conference championship games. I'm still not sure how I feel about the schedule.
Yeah.
Having the Super Bowl the night before Valentine's Day, I'm not a big fan. Like,
hopefully that won't happen much.
That's got to change.
Something's got to change.
Well, they're going to add an 18th game and push it even further back.
It'll be after. The 49ers tweeted out yesterday, on this date in 1984, the 49ers won to beat the Dolphins for the Super Bowl. I went, oh, my God. There's still three more weeks of this season. And here they are talking about winning the Super Bowl in the middle of January. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. It used to be Super Bowl's in the middle of January. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be middle of February.
Be in the end of February when they add the 18th game.
Yeah.
You're talking about the third Sunday in February. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's too long.
They're going to
watch it. But
no, they're going to keep pushing back the new XFL and the USFL and all that to avoid the NFL.
Soon they'll just play until March, have a draft, and then fire it back up in May.
That's right.
Oh,
everybody makes the playoffs.
Oh, gosh.
They won't do that. I think they won't go past what they have now.
No. And look, I'll tell you this. I can appreciate – I don't like it. I don't. But I can appreciate – for those of us who say 18 games is you're kind of getting into a territory where that's too many games, but they have put the emphasis on being the number one seed, and that you get that bye. You're the only team to get that bye, and no matter what happens on wild card weekend, you get the lowest seeded team the next week.
It.
So I do appreciate that they're trying to offset some of that with the way they've structured the playoffs. Look, we're going to get a lot of wild card weekends that probably aren't very good moving forward, but you know what? It's going to eventually get us to the place where we're at now. And, you know, truth be told, if this was the first round of the playoffs, I'm not sure I would be as excited about Bengals-Titans. But having just watched Cincinnati beat L.A., this is kind of what people are talking about with one college expansion. It's not necessarily about the competitive nature, but it's the building of a storyline. It's the building – like, we know what Buffalo did last week. We know what L.A. and Tampa did to get here. We know what Cincinnati, San Francisco did to get to this point. It kind of builds – the weeks go by.
We still would have had four games last week. We just wouldn't have had six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still would have had – the San Francisco-Dallas still would have played.
Right, yeah.
But Philadelphia wouldn't have played Tampa Bay. That's the difference. So, yeah, you're right. But it's – this is going to be fun. This is going to be – there, Russ, is there one – well, I think you probably have an answer because you said you think your confidence pick of the Packers is going to win. But there's not one of the eight teams that if they won the Super Bowl, you'd be shocked. I don't think.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's let another week go by.
Yeah.
You know, but see, but that's
let's
the point.
Think this. There's not one of the eight that if they won this week, you'd be shocked.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I would say, and I promise I'm not picking on you, I would say San Francisco and Cincinnati, which surprised me.
Right.
But not if they win this weekend.
Right.
If you go into Lambeau Field and win a game that kicks off at 8:15, yeah, you can win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't mind a San Francisco Bengals third time in the Super Bowl.
John Candy eating popcorn in the front row.
That's right.
It's a great story. I couldn't stand Joe Montana back then, but dang, that's a good story.
Have you heard the one of the that he used to pick up the phone on the sideline and see if it would dial out to call his wife?
No.
When he was on road games?
Yeah.
He figured out at one of the games that, you know, the phone up to the press box that they would dial out.
Really?
And he's like, let me try this. Let me dial 9 and see what happens. He dialed 9. He called his wife at home during a road game. She's like, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just sitting here waiting for the defense to get us the ball back.
Well, there's a fine line between calling your wife and eating a hot dog. You know, it's okay to be laid back if you're a winner.
Yes. You're talking about poise. How relaxed do you have to be to call your wife on the sideline?
I mean, that's...
And the John Candy thing is
the John Candy, but see, and that to pull it back full circle, we're talking what I was saying about Joe Burrow, and I think you were too. That's the thing that gets me about Joe Burrow.
Yes,
I'm not saying he reminds me of Joe Montana in the way that he plays, but his demeanor,
right? Well, and just we talked about Stetson Bennett and being a leader to come out in that huddle in that moment when you're down and you've got to have a touchdown to win the Super Bowl or you lose, and you come out there and say, "Hey guys, there's John Candy." It's just got to relax everybody.
Yeah.
And they went right down the field and scored a winning touchdown.
Yeah, they sure did. They did a lot in Atlanta. They tore up Fulton County Stadium back in the day. God, I used to hate the 49ers. I used to hate the 49ers as much as I hate that, maybe more than the team down in the end of the river.
Really?
Well, they
were in the same division.
They would
back
come
then.
Into Fulton County every year and just embarrass the Falcons. And then I had to go to school, and all these little bandwagon 49er fans like you are just like, you've never even been to San Francisco.
No, I haven't been.
Them more than you, but yeah.
I still haven't been to San Francisco. That's the one. I've been to Philadelphia.
Like, you
I've
need to check that box.
Sir. I know I do. I want to. We were going to go do it last summer, and then we changed our plans.
That's right, yeah. Well, as soon as you get, you know, you could double up, because while you're on the West Coast, you might as well hop on a plane over to New Zealand and watch your favorite
cricket
team.
That's right. I can't wait. That's going to be our 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
We're going to go to a 49ers game.
Casanova.
And then go to New Zealand to watch cricket.
Oh, I'm sure she'll love it.
And Kevin's coming with us to watch cricket.
Let me know how it goes. Kevin, I'm sorry you got dragged into this. What a week, man.
It has. I'm telling you.
What a week.
Like I said, this week has been a year.
What a week. Well, it's wrapping up, winding down, coming to a close. For those of us that live in the northern portion of our listening area here, just keep an eye to the sky. There could be some, I don't want to say the word because I don't want to set everybody off to the grocery store to buy milk and bread, but you know what I'm talking about. So just keep an eye on that. Everything should be, you know, thaw out tomorrow and we'll be good to go. But just if you can stay off the roads tonight, just please do. It could get a little bit nasty out there. That's your public service.
Yeah, no need to be out today.
Thanks for listening. We always appreciate it. Appreciate all the calls, texts, tweets this week. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks to Tori McElhaney for jumping in here with us. For Chris and Daniel, I'm Russ. We'll do it again Monday at 11. Y'all have a good one.